Hello, this is Dr. Annie Rohr with your mental wellness lesson. A little about myself. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and licensed marriage and family therapist here in Hawaii. My basic purpose is to help people be the best versions of themselves. I got together with Cloudwell Health, they're Hawaii's first telemedicine practice, and we decided to put together some short audio recordings with doable lessons, and we say doable because everything I do and everything I say here is something I think you can actually try. It's not that hard if you try. And our advice is here to help you create a happier life. So Cloudwell Health is Hawaii's first telemedicine practice. And that basically means you can call in and speak to a board certified doctor. You can call them or you can do it by telehealth. That means on your computer. It's comfortable. You can do it from home. It's convenient. The doctors are awesome and kind. I'm very proud to be a part of their team and proud to work with them to bring you these wonderful audio recordings. Please know that you can learn more about Cloudwell Health at cloudwellhealth.com and know that they take all major insurances for the most part and there's no copays. So wonderful people, wonderful to work with. And here we are creating these wonderful mental wellness lessons. And I'm saying wonderful a lot because they are. Which brings me to today's lesson, okay? Today's lesson, we're gonna think about five ways to help relationships. And I'm saying relationships. I do have marriage in mind. I do have couples in mind, but there are some things here in general that can help any relationship. These are some truths and tools to think about and implement in your relationships. Because you know what? Relationships are hard and they do take work. And they require patience, dedication, and understanding. And I'm hoping that if you listen to some of these strategies, I'm going to help you create positive habits, even possibly good changes in your relationship. I want to help you build positive connections and learn to communicate with your partner or someone, even move towards healing or just maintain goodness. Again, relationships take work. And the easiest thing in the world to do is look at your partner or look at the person that you're having trouble with and think, gosh, why can't they change or why aren't they doing this? But you know what? The work is within you. We can't control anybody else. The only thing that we can do is change and work on and do the best we can do. So I'm going to give you some truths, some tools here, and we're going to talk about five things you can do or you can understand or however you want to articulate that to better your relationship. Okay, so here's number one. This is a big deal. The truth about relationships. If you're married, it's the truth about marriage. Okay, truth one, accept and embrace change. Here's what you need to know. People change. You change. Your partner's going to change. You need to accept that. If you expect the person in front of you to have stayed the same, then relationships are going to be hard for you. Relationships and people are messy. They're evolving. It's a bumpy adventure. It's not a smooth ride. Okay? The person that you met however many years ago, they're not going to be the same person you're looking at today. The story I share with all my couples is about an older couple I met when I was a waitress. They came in every Sunday. They've been married for over 40 years. They were content and at peace. I just started my master's degree for marriage and family therapy. I was fascinated with couples and how they stayed married, how to help people. I was doe-eyed and wanted to help and wanted to learn. So I asked this lovely couple, how do you do it? How do you guys stay married this whole time? And here's the little lady. She laughs and looks at me and said, well, to be honest, I haven't been married to this guy the whole time. Ooh, I was shocked. I felt awkward. I was like, uh-oh. He rolled his eyes, began to read his newspaper, ignored us. And she said, you know what? The problem with young people is they don't understand that in a marriage, you're more than one person. I've been married to a handsome young man, a soldier, a new dad, a man who had midlife crisis, a veteran, a grandpa, and now a grumpy retiree. He never stayed the same, and I had to accept that, because I didn't either. And she said, the answer is to accept the changes and see it as an adventure. This information really blew my mind, and I hope it does too for you, because it's food for thought, okay? So again, with a relationship, accept and embrace change. Roll with it. The biggest problem in relationships is we're expecting our partners to stay the same. For me, I can honestly say I am nothing like I was before I had a child. The minute I had a child, I shifted, and it was hard for my husband and it was hard for us, but we have to roll with it because we become different. If we accept that our partners are ever changing, we'll see some of the hard parts are just phases. Because here's the thing, I'm going to change again, and so is my husband. Because everything is really just a phase, isn't it? Even with our kids, it's all short. One minute they're a toddler, the next they're not. One minute your husband's driving you nuts, the next you guys are working together on maybe figuring out the pandemic or maybe figuring out finances. Everything's a phase, we gotta roll with it. Okay, the truth, over 50% of marriages now end in divorce. That's worse than a coin toss. I have to wonder if couples looked at hard times like little phases, and if they waited for it to pass, that they might like the next phase if they just wait for it. This simple concept of waiting, knowing things will pass, embracing change, going with the flow together, could potentially save a relationship. Perhaps the answer has always been to be patient, be on the same page, say you're on the same team, and wait out hard times together. You might struggle with your partner's change, but their next role maybe your favorite. Again, my own marriage struggled with the new parent role, but we're helping each other through it. We were brutally honest with each other. We even said a lot how we miss the old us. But we keep saying, maybe the next chapter will be better. I feel blessed to have seen my husband grow and take on many roles. I'm happy to see him as a dad. You see, a part of marriage is growing together. A quote that I like is, marry your partner, not for one lifetime, but 1,000 lifetimes. To be committed or married is not to say I do once on a pretty planned out day on the beginning of your marriage. That's before all the action happens. To be committed is to really say I do over and over and over again when it gets tough and confusing and messy. That's when the I do matters most. We don't just commit to the good parts of our partners. We commit to marry all of them. The good parts, the junk parts, who they are, who they were, who they will become. And guess what? They marry all of you too. And if you're struggling, you can bet your bottom that they're struggling with part of you too. Okay. Now, here's a secret. If you stay connected and engaged in your relationship, even through the hard parts, you usually get through them. So here are some tasks for this very, very serious lesson. Think about how much you and your partner have changed. Are there things that you miss about them? Were there rough patches? What about the good times? Discuss this with your partner. Reminisce about the day you met, or your wedding, or how you committed. I want you to tell your partner the good ways they've changed, how they've grown, and how they've changed in a way that you're proud of. Consider stating out loud to your partner, I accept the changes that come, and I plan to face them head on with you. Vow to yourself and with your partner that the rough patches will happen and you'll stick it out. And when you wait for the storms to pass, the next phase may be wonderful. There's that word again. All right, my dears, my dear, dear listeners, tool number two, this is not easy. Take a deep breath. Okay, communication. This is one of the hardest things. Another story, I love this story. Another older couple. Okay, so the man is humming to himself while he's at the table. He makes breakfast. The wife looks tense and angry as soon as she sees the table. She aggressively sits down and with a growl said, I can't do this anymore with you. I'm done. You disrespect me daily and I'm sick of it. The man looks defeated and confused. The wife said, "You don't even know what you do. Look at this," she pointed at her plate. "You give me the butt of the bread every single time. I don't know why you do that. I hate the butt of the bread." There was quiet. The husband sighed, and he said, "Those are my favorite parts. The butt of the bread has always been my favorite part." Think about it, okay? Just take a minute and think about that story. It is a sweet yet very true message about communication. The small things that annoy us with a couple sometimes equal the end. And a little communication here throughout their lives, throughout those dinners, would have made all the difference. For years, she took the butt of the bread he gave her. Never did he mention that he was giving it his favorite part to her. Never did she mention she was unhappy with it. Guess what? We have to talk to each other daily. We have to express ourselves. Each time we close up or choose not to share, resentment slowly builds. Communication is crucial. This is where I recommend you get a couple's journal, a notebook. Label a section, issues to be discussed. Label another section, good things, positive things that happened, okay? This is so important to do, because if you have a section that says issues to be discussed, you can discuss them when you're both ready. And notice that I said positive things too. We should be talking about those too. I want you guys to think about coming back to those issues when you're not in a heated space. So, you know, if I'm frustrated with my husband, I'm like, oh, but I'm too irritated and I know I'm going to say mean stuff. I'll write in the journal. I want to talk to him about how he needs to watch my toddler a little bit more so I can do these podcast recordings or whatever. And then maybe at dinner when we're both calm, hey, do you want to check the journal? I have something I wrote in there that I want to talk about. And he could say, yeah, let's do that. Or not now, I'm too tired, but we'll talk about it here. Setting times to communicate and express yourself really help. Communication is one of the biggest places where people struggle. The absolute truth is most arguments are due to lack of communicating your feelings and needs. What we want is to be heard. We want to know that our partner is there and they're supporting us and they're rooting for us and they're listening. And when we feel disconnected, we put out poor communication and we start getting defensive. If you want to learn anything here, here's your takeaway. Listen more, talk less. Stop being defensive. The minute you are being defensive and you hear it, stop talking. Be quiet. Ask yourself, what's really upsetting me? I know I'm being defensive. We both know it's not the small issue that you're fighting about. What's the fear? That's where you need to start. Okay? Here's some basic tools for communicating. This is a lot. Basic tools. Speak with I statements. This is on every therapy movie ever. But it works. If you keep saying you did that, or when you came home, or you know what I mean? This idea of you did it. I can assure you the person on the other end stops listening immediately. Listing a partner's deficits never helps. You can only express what you need and what you feel. You could simply say, you know what? I feel sad that we're not connecting. I need us to try to talk. Another way to do it is I feel hurt when you do this versus you, da, 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 you, do, do, whatever it may be. I want this idea to come from the I statement. Okay? Another basic tool when talking to your partner. If you find yourself getting annoyed or frustrated or have a sinking feeling like here we go again, just stop talking. Just stop. Take a time out. Go back to it later. Write it in the journal. Same on the reverse. If you're talking and you hear your partner has a tone, just stop the talking. Say, hey, this is getting nowhere. We're getting heated. Can we stop? How do you stop? Take a time out. Take a break. Call it a break. Call it a time out. Maybe take a pause. Make up a word that you guys understand together, a neutral word. Hey, let's calm down. Let's take a break. Let's take a minute. Once you are both in a good space, you can come back to it. Most important thing I can tell you about timeouts, respect them. If someone says they need a timeout, the easiest thing to do is get frustrated. You're like, oh, how dare they call a timeout? But you know what? Respect it, because that means they're respecting you, because they don't want to say anything mean and they're taking a timeout. Now take 15 minutes. Some couples need longer. I can do a whole podcast on how to take a timeout, but we'll keep this simple, okay? You call out a timeout, you take some deep breaths, you pull yourself together, take 5 minutes, and then I'm 5 to 15 minutes, whatever, sometimes a day. Either way, you still communicate and just check in with your partner, like, hey, it's been 15 minutes, are you ready to talk yet? The partner says no, okay, let's try tomorrow. Okay, so I'm going to keep it simple. Again, I can, if you're interested, let us know. Reach out, send me an email, and I can do more on communication. Okay, now the timeout's been had. When it's time to talk, when you're both ready, ask if you're okay to talk now, and then you take a couple minutes to express yourself. Okay? All you have to do is listen. We're not judging thoughts. We're not defensive. And remember, all anybody ever wants is to feel heard. So all you have to do is listen. You know what's amazing? Is you don't even have to agree. You just have to say, I hear what you're saying. I'll think on that. I'll repeat that. I hear what you're saying. Let me think on that. And you know what's even better is you repeat it back. I hear what you're saying. You think that I get too defensive when you're talking to me and you're frustrated. I hear what you're saying. That's it. That's all you have to do. Okay. So much I could say. So much. But we're moving on. Okay? We're moving on. Tool number three. You're on the same team. I cannot stress this enough. You're on the same team. You chose each other. This is the most important thing. Instead of trying to find out who the bad guy is or getting defensive, defensiveness ruins relationships, I'm telling you. Just stop and think. We're on the same team. Why are we acting like this? Let's just stop this argument or whatever and attempt to solve it together. Let's see what really is happening. This person is my teammate. We can help each other. Okay. So tasks. Some tasks based on the last two things I told you. By now you should have a couple's notebook. Choose a word to initiate timeouts. Practice reflecting back and calling timeouts. That's the funnest thing. I want you guys to practice calling a timeout when you're not even angry. Taking a timeout and just laugh. Practice reflecting back. What that means is when someone says something like, hey, what's for dinner? Be like, are you asking me what's for dinner? Reflect back what your partner's saying so they feel heard. It can be funny for a little while just to practice. I'm going to go to the store. You're going to the store? Just parroting each other. Practice actually hearing. Then I want you to take some time and just talk to each other. Talk about all of this. What was good, what's bad, whether communication is working for you, whether you think what I'm saying is rubbish, whether you think it's helpful, just talk. You're on the same team. All right. Tool number four. You're not going to believe it. Spending time together. Now we're getting fun. You have to connect and spend time together, okay? Couples come in and they're like, we're not working. We're not working. We don't know if we need a divorce. And I say, you don't know if you're working. And they're like, no. People always think that I have the answer. They can, you know, I'm going to tell them if they're going to get a divorce or not. And I always tell people over and over again, if there's still work to be done, you still have a chance. When you come into my office exasperated and you've tried everything there is, then we can talk about it. But we have work to do. And if there's still a chance, then we're going to fight for it, okay? Now, here's the thing. People don't like this, but guess what? In order to be in a relationship, you actually have to spend time together. You have to connect and spend time, quality time. For every couple, it's different. As long as you both feel connected, however it is, then it's good. For some people, it's just sitting on the couch, holding hands. Some people, it's just sitting on the couch, watching the same show. Sometimes it's an activity, but I want this idea to have, you know, just time together weekly. It can be a date night or it could just be time for you to be together. In order for a relationship to work, this part's not an option. You have to be connected. And the way to connect is to spend time together. How else are you going to grow together? How else are you going to know your partner as they change? How are they going to see that you've changed, the good ways, the bad? Remember, people change. They don't stay the same. Grow with your partner. Learn about them. It can be fun. Spending time helps. It's okay for couples to just want to sit and watch a show. It's also okay for shared hobbies. Sometimes you want to start something new, cooking, golf, working out, training for a 5K, Netflix, everybody's doing Netflix, take a dance class, watch football, whatever. But you need something that you enjoy together. Make this the quality time, okay? You can help, you can connect, you can learn together. If you can't think of anything, sometimes I recommend people start a workout program together or go for walks together. Years ago, pre-baby, my husband and I completed P90X together when we were having a rough patch. And you know what? Gave us a common goal. We also took a sewing class, poor guy. He was better at it than me. But you know what? During those two things, the working out, the sewing, I got to know parts of him that I didn't know existed by watching him try something new, seeing how he persevered. Interesting thing I learned is that despite the fact that he started in better shape than me, it was me who pushed us. So I didn't know that about myself. I didn't know that about him. I learned that he was more meticulous than me. He took his time. I rushed through things. I still do. But then we got to know each other in a new way, and we supported each other in new ways. This is how you make life fun with your partner, so it's never boring. Here's a task for this particular tool. Choose a regular time to spend time together. Take turns choosing an activity. If it's not your turn to be open, if it's not your turn to choose something, be open to whatever your partner suggests. Sometimes it's so frustrating. You're like, I don't want to watch football. Just try it. Attempt to be on the same team. Attempt to be supportive. You want to be together at least once, 1 hour a week at least. You know, it can be something easy like just having dinner together. Sometimes people like to get a massage together. You know, trying something new, trying a new show. The key is quality time. Sometimes I tell people, try a couple's yoga routine. That'll teach you a lesson or two. You know, it's really interesting. Tandem kayaking. You'll learn a lot about each other there. Anyway, make a list of potential shared hobbies or things that you've always wanted to try or do and share it with your partner. See if there's anything on it. See if you guys can create some kind of couple's bucket list. Okay? All right. And for our final tool, not easy, but it's important. Respect. Respect your partner. Without respect, there is no love. Now, the minute you hear this, people are like, respect, my partner needs to respect me. Again, we go back to the beginning. We can't change someone else. We can only change ourselves. So if you want respect, show respect. This is actually true for teenagers too. We want them to respect us, but we actually have to respect them too. This is true for any relationship. Respect has many definitions, but mainly, you know what it is? It's to see something as worthy. Respect is to truly value and admire your partner for who they are and what they do. You may have differences, but if you're on the same team, you can respect them. If you don't respect your partner, there's not much that can save a relationship. You have to find value in them. You have to show them that they are valued. It's okay to disagree or not like what your partner's doing, but can you see their value beyond that? Can you see sometimes they're trying? Maybe they're missing the mark big time, but can you see value? For instance, my husband, he's so frustrated sometimes because I'm so focused on our toddler. But sometimes he says, I see what you're doing. You know, I'm tired. I miss us. But I see how good of a mom you can be to her. And for him, boy, he misses the mark sometimes, but I see he's trying so hard. You know, I see what he's doing. And that's the thing, is sometimes you have to look past the differences and see the value in what they're doing and tell them. There truly is no relationship without respect. This is a hard one to build if you lost it. So try to build it again to help further build respect. sometimes you have to just remember what you admired in them. Sometimes you have to look in the past and then look in the present. It goes back to the beginning, right? We're changing. So sometimes we have to see what we respected, see how they changed, see what brought them to where they are, and value them. Okay, now some tasks. Think about your partner and their value to you, your family, their job, whatever it may be. Sometimes you have to think about what they do for the world too, you know? What do you respect about them? What do you value about them? Tell your partner what you value about them. Tell your partner what you admire. We should be saying good things to our partners at least once a day. So how's that for a task? Tell your partner something you value or admire, or compliment them once a day. Okay, those were our 5 tools, okay? Accept and embrace change, communication, spending time together, respect. Okay, those are the main things. I'm wondering if I counted that out right. Nonetheless, I've given you tools today. You were on the same team. There's the 5th. I want you to remember that these tools are going to help. I promise. Try them. Now, if you're interested in this and you think, wow, this really struck a chord with me, I really like what she's talking about. I do have a mindful couple program. You can check me out. I worked with Sophia Hoskins. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she did some yoga and some meditation for the program as well. We wrote it together. And you can check it out at drannieroar.com. And again, that's the Mindful Couple program. I have several self-help programs. So again, this is Dr. Annie Roar, and that was your mental wellness lesson, how to improve some relationships and some strategies. Working with CloudWell Health, Hawaii's first telemedicine practice, and please learn more about them at cloudwellhealth.com. I really hope this helped. I really hope it struck a chord. At the very least, think about how we change and how we have to value it. All right? Wishing you a wonderful journey in trying to make your relationship better. Take care and be well.